Good morning. Happy Mother's Day. Hey, there was a news article, they interviewing mothers. They found a woman, 96-year-old mother. Amen. Hey, how about that, huh? They said, what are you most glad about? She says, I'm glad that I don't have to worry about my kids anymore. And they said, oh, that's good. What? She says, yeah, they're all in nursing homes. 96. Yeah, it happens. It goes down that route. By way of announcements, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the things going on. How many of you have some plans for Mother's Day today? A few things going on. Well, celebrations of all of that. Are there things that we need to mention by way of announcements? As we are gathered here this morning, Debbie Gunther is going to share something. She doesn't have her hand up, but I know she will because I asked her to.
Good morning. I'll start out by saying the crop fundraiser for May is Slim Chickens. I just don't have a flyer. It will be May 21st. So next week, I'll definitely have flyers. The clothing drive is next Saturday, or clothing giveaway, I should say. We did a lot on Friday, set up in the fellowship hall. But I'm always looking for help. Next Saturday, definitely. We'll start, the actual event is 10 to 12:30. So if you can come to get stuff outside and then to help clean up. Either way. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Stephanie Iverson. Michael, yeah, I got a long walk there to get over to Stephanie. All right.
No, we're good. Just want to remind about Vacation Bible School that's coming up the end of June, so June 20th. So sign up is alive for those who would like to sign up their children, and then we're also taking donations for supplies for VBS. So there's also a link on the bulletin for a registry for that.
All right, thank you. And remembering that it's changed this year, 2 days, the 20th, 21st. So those of you who are able to help, we are grateful. Ushers, have we handed out all of the gift things? If you are a female and you have not yet received one of the gifts that we have for you, Linda Emerson made gifts for all of the on this celebrating Mother's Day. So if you have not received, if you're female and you haven't received a gift, Stick your paw up there. Or if you have a female in your clan that you'd like to take one to.
I
want
to give it back.
And these two gals just walked in there. Tom, I bet they don't have a gift yet. And Pia's got her hand up, but we want to make sure that we gift you all as you have gifted us. We're grateful. Tom, Pia in the back at the computer. Yeah. Other announcements for the good of the order. What other things do we have going on? If you are out and about and you come by the church at some point and you see geysers spurting out of the lawn, let us know. Richard has got all the sprinklers running and everything, but you know that sometimes sprinklers break, and if they break and spew water, it wastes water, costs us money, and is just not a good use of our natural resources. Anybody else need a gift? Thank you, Tom. All right. Other things by way of announcements? Did you have an announcement, Ms. Melba? Michael,
Melba?
Get your jogging shoes on and.
Well, just walking shoes. Dr. Scholl's. My Dr. Scholl's walking shoes.
I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone who came to my 90th birthday party last weekend. We had a great time, and it's a wonderful birthday. Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. For our donut gathering after worship, the Tongans are having an event, so they're set up in the parlor. The clothing drive is set up in the fellowship hall. The Tongans are set up in the parlor, so we're kind of out in the gathering there at the top of the stairs. Plenty of room to get to the donuts, not to worry. Thank you for the gals for being flexible. Anything else by way of announcements? We welcome you. We welcome those persons joining us online. Well, happy Mother's Day all around. Let's stand and wave hello to one another, and let us prepare for worship.
Are you ready to read the call to worship? Okay, yeah. Give them just a minute to wave to one another, and then go ahead and just lead them to the... All right, hop up there and do it. Just tell them if you'll join me in the call to worship.
If you'll join me in the call to worship. Loving God, this morning we gather with an emphasis on mothers as we lift our worship to you. Precious Lord, as we celebrate the earthly ones who mothered us, we can give thanks to you. Lord, you gave birth to humanity. With open hearts, we join the Lord's celebration of a family gathering. This day, as we come in worship of Christ, we lift love, compassion, and acceptance, Christian values we have learned from those good mothers in our lives. Lord, help us join with all of the brothers and sisters we share in Christ.
Good morning, and let me say happy Mother's Day as well. The first hymn can be found in your hymnal, main hymnal, page 145, titled "Morning Has Broken." We'll sing first and third verses. Please be seated.
Just say Revelation 7.
Okay. Revelation 7, 9 through 17. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? I said to him, Sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Yeah. Please stand for our second hymnal, singing. Again, verses 1, we'll sing verses 1 and 3. Come find the quiet sinner. It's in your The Faith We Sing hymnal, item 2128.
Please be seated. In the back of your bulletin, you find some of the prayers that we've been lifting over the month that's been going on. We want to be aware of those. Do we have updates, any information that we might want to share, might want to elucidate on? Please. Alex.
Thank you. Oh, goodness. Well, happy Mother's Day. My wife's in the back. She spent all day yesterday in the hospital, which is super lame, and is still dealing with some of the after effects. So I'd really appreciate a prayer for her as we go into summertime, and that's maybe a little bit of a sad prayer, but I'd also like to lift a prayer for my mom, who was there just kind of serendipitously to help us through that time. And I can say that I watched my kids for 8 hours yesterday, and that was more than enough for me. So thank you to all of the moms there.
All right, Audrey, thank you. Say a prayer.
Yes, we would like to mention Stephanie Wiffenbach. She fell off the school stage by accident and broke both her feet. So she's home in the wheelchair and is going to finish out the year. But She's a happy 16-year-old, so she'll do fine.
Amen. Stephanie, all right. Broken both feet. Ouch, ouch, ouch. Debbie Gunther.
I want to keep my husband's daughter's family in our prayers. There's a new baby in that family that is struggling to, he was preemie. His name is Justin Wheeler. Mom's name's Jody. He's struggling to eat and breathe, I guess, at the same time.
Okay, thank you. Stephanie Iverson had her hand up.
So my niece Kelsey graduated from CU Boulder on Thursday with aerospace engineering, and she is actually on her way to Bolivia right now for 2 months for a bridge building project that she's going to be doing there. And then when she comes back, she's actually going to be going back there for a year for a fellowship. So just prayers for her for safe travels and safety while she's in Bolivia.
Okay, for Kelsey, thank you. By the way, I got an odd letter. It was from the Department of Defense, and it asked me to recommend or review an employee of the church named Stephanie Iverson. And it had a whole list of questions. Most of them were pretty easy to answer, but I got to the last one. It says, any unusual behaviors we should know about? And I just envisioned her leading the VBS songs, and I thought, should I tell them about that? But we recommend, she's going to get her security clearance increased, so pretty soon she's going to be in charge of the government. We knew that was coming. But Stephanie, so thank you, dear, and congratulations to you. Okay, others, any others? There are hints. I don't know if you heard, it was a minor news story on the back page, but there's a new pope. And born in the United States of America, I understand, which was a first, but already stirring things, making some amazing changes. And one of the things that is happening right now, there might be doves of peace attempting to light on some of the conflicts in our world. So pray for them. Pray for that peace. Be about that peace. Amen? All right. Others, anything else by way of concerns? By way of celebrations, having Bella up here reading. Doesn't she do a good job of reading? I think she should be here every Sunday. Yeah. Nice job. Celebrations for birthdays. Becky Ross has a birthday on Tuesday. Alina Relford has a birthday. Is that right? 16 years old on Thursday? 16, yeah, I know. And I have down here that there's a couple here that celebrating a wedding anniversary. I don't know if I know them. Schneers, Richard and Susan. Schneer, Richard, how many years? I have 21. Will you just pick 21? Sounds close. All right. Congratulations to you and Susan. Others, any other prayers of celebration for those milestones? God is with those in the midst of us. God is with our birthing moments and is with us every day. Amen. If not, let's gather together. Let us read our unison prayer. Let us read responsively. Sisters and brothers in Christ, God invites us to bring our doubts and fears, our joys and concerns, our petitions and praise, and to gather in prayer. Precious Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, hear the prayers we have lifted aloud. Make us like trees planted by flowing streams, absorbing your testimony, living by your truth. Grant us now your word and your love. We are as little children sitting at our Lord's feet, aspiring to be fully present with you. Enfold us in a love that we cannot help but share. Speak to us now and always with a fresh and vital revelation. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation in preparation for prayer. Lord God, thank you for your blessings on us this morning, for your very creation of us, for all of the world around us, which is you have birthed and brought into existence, for our family extended far and wide and every human being gathered. We give you thanks. We give you thanks for that family, for that gift of belonging, for your love that nurtures us and them. As we come and gather this day, we celebrate mothers and we celebrate those who birthed us as well as those who raised us. Those men, women, people that were the mothering influence that inspired us to be the people we are today. We acknowledge them, we give thanks to them, we praise them. We realize that they, like all humans, had feet of clay. They were not perfect, they have not been perfect, they are not perfect. And yet, out of their love and care and the richness of spirit, they have blessed us, raised us, empowered us, nurtured us, comforted us, sometimes confronted us, but they have been the gift of mothers in our midst. Lord, I give thanks for the mothers in our midst who are still in the midst of raising children, for their gifts of patience and love and nurturance and wisdom, and for all of the strength and the power that they have, for the endurance, for the very means of being those who offer love unconditionally. Lord, as we come and gather, we acknowledge that wonderful gift. When we turn in our gathering in worship to you, acknowledging you as the wonderful gift of to all of us, learning to love and to live and to give thanks. Lord, be with us. Gather with us. Hear the prayers of each of us individually. Hear our silent prayers lifted. Hear the prayers in the midst of the dark nights. And hear us as we celebrate in so many ways. We gather with you, Lord. We gather with you always at this time and this place. And as we gather with brothers and sisters around the world in the prayer that Jesus taught all of the followers, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to take a moment and allow Colleen to offer up her offertory.
Please stand, if you are able, for the gospel reading. John 19:23-27. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four parts, one for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who will get it." This was to fulfill what the scripture says. They divided my clothes amongst themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home.
Word of the Lord.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite all of you, young and old of heart, young of heart, and those of you who would come and help and celebrate in our Vacation Bible School aerobics, if you will, and come and celebrate with. I invite you to sit down and just wipe the sweat off your brow. Give thanks that we can still celebrate together, what have you. I wanted to just, Mother's Day, it's a good time to really give thanks for some of the important things, especially some of the things that we've been taught. I remember my mom taught me about praying. She said, "Son, you better pray that spot comes out of the carpet." So we learn about all the things that are about worship and prayer and all of those different things, and we are grateful. I loved the way that Bella read the scripture. I love this passage out of Revelation. Revelation is a book that's much confusing to many people, and Some try and read a lot into it as if it's foretelling, but it's called in apocalyptic literature. It's just symbolic in nature, but it's just visionary, and isn't it wonderful? Listen to what John reads as what he saw, as what he encountered. I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. Can you just envision, can you just hear it, see it, and just, I just makes a little, this hair stand up on the back of my neck. It's a wonderful celebration. It is a vision of the greatness and of gathering and robed in white. I'm getting to the age now that I can put on a white something and it will stay white for a few hours anyway. That has not always been the case as a young man. My mother used to send me to school, and the last thing she would say was, stay clean, stay dry, stay out of the ditch. She knew, little boys, she knew how that worked. But this scripture, what a blessing. And scripture, you know, they didn't have a lot of paper. They didn't have, today we have gluts of paper. We have piles of paper. And too much. But in the day, it was expensive. And they didn't have a lot. So they compacted everything they did. It was succinct. And scripture was no exception. And so there might be a lot put together in one short paragraph. And the same is true of the scriptures that we had. We're reading, Bella read from the crucifixion passage. Easter. Remember we just had Easter? Wasn't that just a few Sundays ago? Wonderful celebration. But this is the passion of Christ, the Easter moment. Jesus is on the cross. And the women are present. Have you noticed that? Be careful that you don't just gloss over that. But the women are there. The men are absent. They were in danger, and they knew that. They might be captured. They might be envisioned as colluding with and being in association with and then be found guilty. But the women were invisible. And there was a tremendous downside to that. But here was a positive side. They could be at the cross and ignored virtually. But did you hear what Bella read? Standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother Mary and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Three Marys. And I don't know, was Mary just a much more predominant name back then? I knew a Mary in my previous church. She said, I've always disliked my first name, Mary. Everybody was named Mary. She said, I wanted something a lot different than everybody else. I don't know. It's a name. It's an important name. It's a worthy name. It's a holy name, if you will. But here are these three Marys, and intriguingly, in history, the different scholars have done things. And there was a church official, bishop or cardinal or priest or something, who wrote a sermon. And in it, he said, well, it was really only one Mary. Mary was all of those different ones put together. That was his opinion, trying to tidy things up in the Bible. Things are not as tidy as people would have them be. We like it when they're tidy, when they're compacted down into smaller and smaller casts. So we don't have to keep track of who's Clopas and why and how are all these different things connected. But this non-biblical merging of the three Marys into one is not biblical, and it's not helpful. And then another piece that is intriguing about John that he tries to tidy up is this business about carrying his own cross. John makes it explicit that Jesus carried his own cross up to be crucified. Now, keep in mind, John is written much later than the other three Gospels. There are four Gospels. Three are called synoptic because they are so similar. And one, John, is the non-synoptic. And it's written much later, and it's a generation or so later in time that it's written. And in fact, we can go back to the first Gospel, or what we think was the first one, Mark. And in Mark's Gospel, they recount how when Jesus was getting ready to go up onto the cross, to climb the hill to Golgotha, they grabbed the hold of a passerby, Simon of Cyrene. You remember Simon, he's Alexander and Rufus's dad. In Mark's congregation, they knew. This was family. The boys were probably men gathered in the congregation, and it was their dad who was conscripted, this black man from Africa, from Cyrene, who was forced and just recruited to carry the cross. John just doesn't need that information, so he tidies things up and leaves that out, and Jesus carries his own cross. Every Hollywood director in the world is thankful for John for writing that. So much more dramatic, so much more tidy. And you don't have to understand who's Simon of Cyrene. Where is Cyrene? All of these details, you see. But life is not tidy. Jesus is on the cross, and we're so focused on that Easter moment and on those final words and on Jesus' short time there that some of the things that happened, they just kind of get skimmed over and we don't accent them very much. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Jesus officiates over an adoption. Here's the disciple whom Jesus loved, whom we had a discussion about this. It was probably John, that's not explicit. But John and Mary, they now have both been merged into a family. We know that the women who were present, as I said, they were invisible. They could be there at the cross. They could be there. They're central, and we skim over them much too easily. Very formative in Christianity. Think about it a moment. It is a woman, Mary Magdalene, who anoints Jesus. Not only anoints him as king, if you will, but as for his burial. She anoints his hair. Remember the passage? They have the perfume. She buys the expensive perfume, and she wipes his feet with her hair and with the perfume. It's an anointing, and it's done by this wonderful act by this woman, Mary Magdalene. And the women are the first to witness Jesus after the resurrection. Again, the men might have been far away because it was dangerous to be there. Maybe that's why, although they rushed to the tomb, you recall, Mary goes and he tells the disciples, and the disciples rush to the tomb, and they find it empty, and they don't comprehend it. But it's Mary who's the first to encounter that, and in different Gospels, it's different ones of the women who encounter Jesus first on his risen, the Christ, the risen Christ. And it is the women who remember the words that Jesus has taught them and start reminding the disciples, "But remember how he taught us." I don't know about you, but it's easy to get caught up when there's a crisis, when things go wrong and things run amok and run. There's accidents and things going on that it's easy to just be in the moment and forget. And the women, in the midst of this crisis of losing Jesus' body on earth, they begin to remember his sayings. And they're reminding the disciples. The disciples don't want to listen after all. It's idle women chatting. but it's this family of gathering. And on Mother's Day, it is the women who are so very formative. But this gathering of John and the disciple whom Jesus loved with Mary, it's a making of family. We will not be left destitute. None of us will be left destitute. What an incredible message. What an incredible piece of good news. And what an important thing to hear on Mother's Day, to honor mothers and reflect on what our mothers taught us and the heritage that has been handed down to us from our mothers. Now, we thank mothers for growing families. I mean, literally, they grow families, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about motherhood and birth mothers, but I'm talking about mothers who have been formative. I had a lot of mothers raising me. Most of them were women. And I say that not in humor, but recognizing that mothering is that important part of raising and instilling integrity and morality. Now, I've been in the pastorate for a little while, a couple of years now. And over the course of my career, I've done some pastoral care for people who have called and said, I need to talk to you. And unfortunately, some of those have been people who have been injured by their parents. There's a fella whose mother abused him so badly that he could not sleep at night. He had nightmares all night long. So he would sleep during the day wherever he got a chance. He would come to worship and sit in church. And as soon as church started, boy, he'd cross his arms and on his chest, and he'd go right to sleep. I thought I was I was kind of insulted, and I thought I was just, not being active enough, keeping him awake. But he was at peace and felt safe in that sanctuary. And his mother was not a mother to celebrate. So not all people celebrate Mother's Day in the same way, but hopefully we can all celebrate mothers. And it kind of made me pause and ask a question. Is it possible that we as humans who have feet of clay, is it possible that in every interaction between people, there's a potential both for grace and for injury? And the longer you're with somebody, the greater the possibilities of both of those? I mean, just think about it. The more time you spend with someone, have you ever had a good friend and you spend a lot of time with them, and then all of a sudden you kind of just get sick and tired of them? Just need some time away. Alex, is that what you were referring to with the 8 hours with the kids there and with the, love the kids, but, and we do. And yet as we get older and look back, what I would give for a day with a little baby that I had until she wakes me up in the morning, then I'm not quite as excited about it. But we have feet of clay and injuries can happen. But this love, and especially on Mother's Day, this is a time to pause and say, loving means understanding each other's humanity and their ability to make mistakes. I have made a few mistakes. You can write that down with air quotes there. And understanding that I can make those mistakes despite being sure that I won't make any more mistakes and praying and focusing on it, and yet I still stumble. And knowing then, yes, our parents could stumble too. But love is that step that says we forgive, we move on, and we are committed to that other. Love means never saying have to say you're sorry. Was that a movie or something? I don't remember where that came out of, but saying you're sorry is always a good thing, regardless. But love means making a decision to say, this person is someone I choose to love, I choose to be with, I choose to overlook their failings. I'm not going to be abused by them, but this is a person that I have decided to love. That's the love that Jesus is talking about when he says, love one another. Feed my sheep. It's not this romantic, this spasm of sexual attraction. It is a decision that we make in loving. Back to Revelation, that beautiful passage when Bella read it. The elder asks John, he says, who are these, all these people? And I love his response. Sir, you're the one who knows. Talk about a good political answer there, huh? And the elder responds, these are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Wow. That great ordeal. I am experiencing some of that. Some days it is a great ordeal. Amen? Some days it's okay and it's life's a dream and it's a birthday party, and other days not so much. And also those days of persecution, those days of struggle. So we acknowledge those errors, those missteps, the stumbles, the sins, and out of all of those, coming to Christ in the gift of having our robes washed, return to that sparkling white cleanliness. That's good news. That is wonderful news. And we need to acknowledge that Jesus building us, building families, teaching forgiveness, but teaching the broadness of families from every nation, from all the tribes and the peoples and languages, from our birth families, our adopted families, our world families. I live in a delightful neighborhood. I have people from nationalities I can't even imagine. There are people that walk by with, they must be from some, I'm guessing Nepal. I'm not sure. And I have gone out and been in the front yard when they walk by and said hello. And there's a lot of nodding, but there's not much other communication. And that's okay, because here's part of my family. I ought to get to know more about them, but how's that going to happen? Maybe it won't, but at least I can say, here is one of my brothers or sisters. There were four of us growing up together, three siblings, and we would fight. Any of you have siblings? Did any of you fight with your siblings? I guess I should have asked, or any of you didn't fight with your siblings, but anyway, my mother at some point in time had 60s, there was different people with different theologies and teachings, and some guru or something said, had this saying, and my mother picked it up. She says, we'd be fighting like crazy, and mother would say, that's nice, kids, don't fight. That just made me twice as mad. Didn't work for Fooey. She thought she was helping. She didn't know what else to say, what else to do, or how else to be about it. But that's nice, kids, don't fight. I can imagine Jesus saying that to us, but he says it a different way. Love one another. And maybe we can pause and say on Mother's Day we can celebrate the correct good mothers and the love they offered, celebrating them and celebrating how we try and be like them in loving one another. Amen? Amen. James, are you going to come help us sing here? And Miss Colleen, if I might ask you to tickle the ivories as we gather together. By the way, be thou my vision, if you'll stand while we sing. You have to sing it with an Irish lilt. So I don't know if I can do that very well, but just hear it and think about that as we are in the midst of number 145.
James. No, it's 451.
Page 451.
We're changing it now? Is that? No, I get it. Where we were with that, that's okay.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, thank you for James for leading us in this. Happy Mother's Day. As we go out into the world, celebrate your mother, celebrate the mothers of us all, celebrate Jesus, God, and the way they have offered us love. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. And go in peace. Let's join our hands and sing our closing. God's people said, Amen. Amen.